Jesus reveals the laws of supreme blessing, if you will. Part 9. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 164. Since the beginning of this year, I believe that's correct. Since the beginning of this year, or since the beginning of the new president's term, but 531 days since January 1, 2016, by the grace of God, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, and after we get through with the Beatitudes, we're going to get into the similitudes. You say, preacher, what is that? Just hold on, I'll tell you. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, are ye there? For they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, we dealt with this for 2 weeks, ending it last week, for they shall be called the children of God. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the Sermon on the Mount from your Holy Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts from your eternal word. Help us not to take this lightly. Help us to confess our sins and help us to repent where we have failed to do your holy word. Crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to do your holy word. The Ten Commandments that you gave to Moses in the mountain, and now the Beatitudes that you are giving us directly as Emmanuel, God with us, in the New Testament, from the Mount. Speak to our hearts, and not only speak to our hearts, help us to change our ways. For your glory, praise, and honor. And we pray that lost souls would come to know your Savior today, and that Christians would be revived. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Amy Miller said, blessed are the persecuted, hits at the core of what it means to be a follower of Christ. Those who are sold out to the Lord completely, to living a life for Jesus Christ, will have the scent, if you will, of the Spirit of God on their lives. This scent is the smell of death for those who are dying spiritually. For this reason, true followers of Christ will be rejected and persecuted. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we will explore the eighth of Jesus's laws, if you will, for supreme blessing. To recap, number one is to be poor in spirit. That is, to live in accordance with one's true standing as a sinful human being, an undeserving sinner, before God Almighty. These are they who will obtain the kingdom of heaven. Amen, somebody. Number two is to mourn over sin, especially not only the sins of others, but especially one's own sin, our sin. These are they who will be comforted by God in the end. God hates sin, and he is glad to see that you hate sin. Number three is to be meek, to depend entirely on God in every situation and not on one's self. That needs to be permanently fixed. These are they who will inherit the earth. Number four is to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those who do so will experience, ladies and gentlemen, the fullness of God in their life. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness, or do you hunger and thirst after evil and sin? Do you have always a duping delight grin on your face about the evil in your heart, the evil that you would do if you could get away with it? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness and holiness? Number five is to be merciful so that we might receive mercy. These are they who will receive mercy. Number six is to be pure in heart, to be real, to be truthful, to be transparent, to truly be an open book, pure in heart. These are they who will see God. Number seven is to be peacemakers, for these are they who will be called the children of God. God is all about making peace, even with wicked, evil, and ungodly people. He invites us to come and let's reason together. I love you so much. I'm willing to reason with you. The eighth law of supreme blessing, if you will, is blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for these are they, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Beloved, it is easy for Christians today to cry persecution at the slightest of offenses. But I will tell you quickly that most of us in America have never experienced true persecution. In our culture of hypersensitivity and political correctness, it has been pointed out that many of the situations that we cry foul over are simply par for the course, especially when in some places Christians are being killed for refusing to deny Jesus Christ, like the ladies on that bus in Egypt. We in the West are not as persecuted as we sometimes like to believe. Just because the world disagrees with you does not mean you're being persecuted. Jesus qualifies the condition of supreme blessing, stating that it is only for those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You see, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we Christians get it twisted. And we'll say we are being persecuted because we believe in Christ. And that is not necessarily the case all of the time. Because what you get persecuted for is the same thing that Daniel got persecuted for. Is when you actually obey the word of God that Christ spoke. When your behavior is contrary to the world's behavior. You see, the Jews don't believe in Christ, but they are constantly persecuted. They've been persecuted for thousands of years. Why? Because their religion that comes from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is the foundation for our faith, Christianity, goes against society. The world can't stand them. And because they obey the laws of God, and all of them, of course, don't obey them perfectly, but there are certain things that they honor, such as the Sabbath and stuff like that. And God has blessed them for doing that. And so they are special. They are God's chosen people. And they do things differently. And the world can't stand it. And so our faith in Christ is a wonderful thing. But what is more wonderful and more powerful and more convicting to the world is when we actually do what God Almighty said in the Old Testament and Jesus Christ said in the New Testament. This is what righteousness, righteous behavior, is what turns the world against you. Not just believing. When the world tells you, deny Christ, and you don't do so, and yes, that's persecution. When they kill you or injure you for not doing what they told you to do. That's persecution. There's no doubt about it. But what they are persecuting you for is your righteous behavior and not denying Christ. Can somebody say amen? It's your behavior. Does Christ make you change your behavior, your mentality, your attitude? You won't, because of Christ, go along, help me somebody, to get along. Amen, somebody. This whole battle that's going on in our society right now, in this country, over the abomination and sin of homosexuality. It's all about Jesus changing your life in such a way where you hate all sin, including your sin of adultery, of gluttony, of fornication, of lying, of dishonesty, and of homosexuality. And we just cannot go along to get along. Just can't do it. I mean, we just we don't even think about it. We're like the three Hebrew boys. We can't do whatever you need to do, but we're not going to bow down to your false little G God. We can't do that. So you, if we die, we die. In the words of Esther, if we perish, we perish. But we can't do that. There's some things Christians can't do. They can't get along, or rather go along to get along. So they don't get along, and that's when people start persecuting, because you're not playing with us, right? You're not playing the game we want you to play. That's what it is. It's not about hatred. Can somebody say amen? It's not about we're better than you. No, we got our sins too. But we stand against all of that. And we certainly stand against a man being with a man. That is an abomination. It is a proud attempt to turn God's world upside down and destroy civilization. It is stupid as hell. So that's why we can't go along with that. I'm talking about people who believe in Christ. People who are truly born again and who are saved. We had a preacher this past week, bless his heart. He wrote a Bible and everything. And he lost his mind temporarily. Evidently had a senior moment. Just forgot the good sense. And said he, if given an opportunity, he would marry two homosexuals. And the outcry from the truly saved people was so loud. And I believe louder than that was his publisher saying, if you don't recant on this thing, this stupid thing that you just said, there will be no more message. You can kiss the Message Bible goodbye. You'll never see it. We'll snatch it off every bookshelf in this country and around the globe. You'll never see it again. Your little Bible you wrote. That's what I think happened. Anyway, that ought not to motivate him. What ought to motivate him is his love for Christ, his fear of God. Amen, somebody. And if we have to be persecuted by the homosexuals and those who are for the homosexuals, so be it. And by the way, if Christians don't stand up, we are seeing the beginnings of American persecution. And it's going to get pretty thick here after a while. So get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Dr. R.C. Sproul said, "Our Lord does not promise a blessing to every type of suffering. Rather, it is suffering for the kingdom that proves the kingdom is ours." Sometimes we misinterpret our suffering as enduring pain for Christ, when all we are really suffering is the pain of our own bad choices. My God, help us, and our own misbehavior. So we must be careful that we do not count ourselves blessed until we are sure that our pain, our suffering, is on account of faithful, obedient, righteous service to Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody. I'm being persecuted for Christ. I lost my job. Why did you lose your job? Well, I am a Christian, you know. Yeah, but on that day, what happened that day? Well, I came in 2.5 hours late. That should not have. Yes, it will. You will get fired, Christian, for coming in 2.5 hours late and then lying from the highway while you're zooming down the road talking about you're in traffic. You liar. Is everybody all right? No, you're not being persecuted. But Pastor, I'm being persecuted because I'm a Christian. I want you to file a suit and get the Liberty Council to file a suit for me. And the pastor looked at you and said, "Woman, have you lost your mind? You were late. And I got a call from your employer the other day because he's a member of this church. And he told me that you are late every day, coming into the office with crumbs on your mouth. You got to be kidding me. Is everybody all right? You're not suffering for Jesus, baby. You're suffering for trying to get to Dunkin' Donuts on time instead of work on time." Can anybody say amen in the house of God? Persecution, beloved, may come as a result of telling someone about Jesus, refusing to go along with the evil of others, or confronting someone about their sin. But like with all of the Beatitudes, the blessing comes as a result of our heart condition. Is your heart right with the Lord? The thing I tell Christians most: you need to get your heart right with the Lord. Don't try to get your heart right with me. Get your heart right with the Lord, and then you'll be right with me and others. The main thing that needs to happen with most Christians today, pastors included, is we all need to get our heart right with the Lord. Can somebody say amen? We can't have a proud self-righteous, self-important attitude about being persecuted. It doesn't even work. That doesn't fit. It is not something that makes us more important than other Christians. Make us lift our heads up in the air and tuck our arm to our chest like we're something special. No, that's not what it's about. And we ought to accept persecution humbly, graciously, and gratefully. as a part of the cross we must bear as citizens of the kingdom of Christ and righteousness. Amen, somebody. The reason why those who do righteously are persecuted is because the lives of the righteous expose what is wrong in the lives of those who are not righteous. And they are under conviction. They get convicted. Have you ever seen a brother or sister who is in the church with you get all riled up because you're doing good and they are not? Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And none of us like to be reproved. I had to reprove two children of mine this morning. One responded with a good attitude and spirit and went on. The other one started crying and getting an attitude. And that ought not to be. We don't like being reproved, do we? None of us. We don't like being rebuked, do we? None of us. We don't like being told about ourselves. But that's the way of life, baby. That's what the book of Proverbs says. That's the way of life. It is the way of being rebuked, being reproved, being instructed as to what you ought to do. If we live according to the standards of the Holy Scriptures, there will always be those who oppose us. Righteous living and our salvation in Christ, righteous living, and the persecution that may come as a result of that marks us as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We are members of a force occupying this hostile worldly kingdom until it becomes the kingdom of our Lord and our God. And as the Apostle Paul said, if we be dead with Christ, my God, we shall also live with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Tap somebody and say amen. You can enjoy the supreme blessing of the kingdom of heaven by giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ right now. It will be tight, but it will be right in the words of my dad, who is in heaven now, Bishop Daniel White Jr. Allow me, beloved, to show you how you can be saved from sin and hell and be brought into the kingdom of God and light through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. We all have. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. Always, you know that. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death every day. Somebody said God may not pay on Friday, but God always pays. Payday someday, in the words of the great preacher Robert Lee, I think his first name is Robert, R.G. Lee. He preached a sermon titled Payday Someday. You can sow and you can do your sin and do your evil today, but rest assured, payday is someday. And third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell right now. I preach on this every time because most preachers don't preach on it at all. They have taken it out of their Bibles. But Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is an awful place. Hell is bad news. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of darkness. Hell is a place of never-ending pain. You don't want to go there. The same Jesus who preached on hell preached about how to get to heaven. Hell is the bad news. Heaven is the good news. And Jesus Christ uttered these words found in John 3:16 one night when he was speaking to Nicodemus. He said, "For God so loved the world," Nick, that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten son," that's me, Nick, "that whosoever, that includes everybody at any time, anybody at any time, believing in me, Nicodemus, should not perish." Perish where? In hell, but have everlasting life. Where? In heaven with God. That's the gospel in the words of Curtis Hudson in a nutshell. So all you have to do, I know it's going to shock you and it's going to amaze you. It's going to be hard to believe, but it's true. All you have to do is believe on Christ. Some will say that that is easy believism. Why would God make it hard for such ignorant and wicked people as we are? God is not in the business of making salvation hard. He loves you too much. He made it very simple as possible, where all you have to do is believe on Christ, believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And there are preachers out there who try to make this hard. Don't listen to them. That's why I preach the way I preach. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And then pray and ask God to have mercy on your soul and save you because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. He shed his blood and he died on the cross for your sins. He went to hell so that you would not have to go to hell. He was buried and then he rose again. And right now he's alive and well, sitting at the right hand of God, and he's here today. And so, dear friend, if you believe, Romans 10:9-13 says that if you, whatever your name is, Sam, Sally, Smitty, Joe, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, your heart, you shall be saved. It is as simple as that. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the way of salvation. It is good news. One of the reasons why it is so good is because God made it simple for you and I to do. All we have to do is believe in Christ. Believe on Christ and what he did for us. I am willing to lead you in prayer at this point. The prayer is called the Sinner's Prayer by many. Someone helped me to pray this prayer almost 40 years ago. And I'll be glad to lead you in prayer right now to God. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever you are in the world. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight, and that I have broken your commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his precious blood on the cross for my sins, as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, including mine, Lord, I know I don't deserve it, but Jesus, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins and save my soul. Help me to repent of my sins past by the power of your Holy Spirit and help me to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Just now, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Just now, he will save you, he will save you, he will save you. Just now, Jesus will save you, Jesus will save you. Just now. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart today in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do, after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, please email us and let us know at DW3@GospelLightSociety.com or one of our other emails. There is some free material that we want to send you. We have some free material that we want to send you, and Danita Evangeline White will help you with that. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you. Real good is our prayer.